Morning. Would you stand with me for a second? By the way, Janelle and Ben, great job leading us in worship. Thank you so much. I love that prayer, prayer of St. Augustine. And in fact, it's called the Prayer to the Holy Spirit. And I want us to start our time just by praying this prayer together. Can we do that? We'll put the words on the screen and just lift your voices. Let's pray it together. Ready? Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. Amen. That's a great prayer, isn't it? You can go ahead and be seated. I think part of the reason it's such a powerful prayer is this prayer really reminds us that there's a very real Holy Spirit. There is a Holy Spirit who desires to lead us and to guide us and to direct us and influence our lives as followers of Jesus, which is really good news for us. Really good news. Because see, as much as we may know that God loves us and that he is for us and that we're forgiven and we're accepted, we still need his help, don't we? We need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we're reminded of that every time in our journey that we begin to feel that tension that is a part of our journey. The tension. You know the tension when you feel it because you feel it just like I do. And it's that tension that sort of exists between the reality that we're changed and that God has changed us on the inside, and yet we still face a ton of challenges. And we still face a ton of temptations and struggles and issues and battles and on down the list. We still face that on the outside, don't we? We feel that tension. We all feel it. We all sense it, which is why this whole idea that there is a Holy Spirit who wants to help us and wants to empower us and lead us on the journey, that's why it's such good news, because we need the help of the Holy Spirit. There's this one place in Scripture where Jesus actually tells us the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and I love how he sort of sums it up, and he says it very deliberately in John chapter 14, verse 16. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. I love this next line. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I think this passage alone says so much to us about the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that the Holy Spirit is not an it. Right? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is very real. The Holy Spirit's he. And we're told that he is our counselor. It's another word for advocate or comforter or helper. And I love where Jesus says, he says the Holy Spirit is going to live within you and the Holy Spirit is going to be with you forever. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not a metaphor. It's not something that's used to, something that, represents who God is. No, the Holy Spirit's very real, and he desires to play a very real role in your life. He desires to play a very significant role in our lives as followers of Jesus. And yet I wonder how many of us are actually experiencing it. I wonder how many of us are actually experiencing the Holy Spirit in the way that the Holy Spirit wants us to experience him. And I wonder how many of us are experiencing the Holy Spirit in a way that St. Augustine prayed. Are we experiencing him as our, breathing in us, acting in us, drawing our hearts and strengthening us and guarding us? Are we experiencing that? Well, my guess is there's many of us who would probably say, I'm certainly not experiencing it like I would like to. And I think there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I do know one thing. I think that for those of us who feel like maybe we're not experiencing the Holy Spirit how we'd like to, I don't think it's because we don't want to. I don't think it's because we feel like, I can handle this. I don't need the Holy Spirit. No, I think probably for a lot of us, it's more of an issue of just trying to sort of understand what this Holy Spirit thing is all about to begin with. You know, or we hear the word Holy Spirit, or, you know, we hear the word Holy Ghost, and it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. So it's like the smoke monster on Lost. Right? What is it? Is it good? Is it bad? What is this thing, right? I think it's good. You know, or maybe for some of us, it's like that struggle that we have has to do with maybe our spiritual upbringing. I mean, maybe some of you get a little bit tripped up when you start thinking about the Holy Spirit, because maybe you think back to that church you visited when you were a little kid with your friend, and you walked in and there were people like rolling down the aisles and swinging from the chandeliers and speaking in tongues, and you're like, okay, this is weird, man, and it sort of freaked you out, and so you just sort of avoid the discussion altogether. Or maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe for some of you, you know, it was like maybe your church was sort of one of those almost anti-Holy Spirit churches. Or maybe not anti, but maybe it was like, okay, here's the box that the Holy Spirit is in, and there's basically three ways the Holy Spirit moves. Anything outside of that is not the Spirit, it's Satan. Right? And so, you know, and you know, those, I mean, you know, those kind of churches. I mean, I think a lot of us, actually, we do that ourselves, right? We try to figure out the mystery of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Try to figure him out, because we want to solve the mystery of the Spirit like it's some kind of like crossword puzzle, right? We want to figure it out. We try to make the Holy Spirit fit within the confines of our minds. But the problem with that is that the Holy Spirit doesn't fit within the confines of our minds. The Holy Spirit usually does not move in super linear and logical fashion in our lives. The Holy Spirit is very mysterious. And so that's why I think if we're not careful, what happens is we'll find ourselves, as people who, instead of following the Holy Spirit, kind of do our own thing and invite the Holy Spirit to follow us. Or we become people who, instead of serving God's purposes, we ask him to serve our purposes. And the problem with that is that when that starts to happen in our lives, we miss out on this amazing adventure that the Holy Spirit wants to take us on in our lives. We miss out. See, that's why if you take the Holy Spirit out of your life, you know what your life's going to be? It's going to be boring. It's going to be boring. Unfortunately, that describes way too many people's lives. I mean, that describes a lot of followers of Christ that I know. Boring. See, here's the thing. I mean, seriously, if you are someone who is considering becoming a follower of Christ and the Christian or Christians that you know in your life are boring, why would you want to become a Christian? Right? No, absolutely not. See, boredom isn't just boring. Let me say this. Boring is wrong. Boring is wrong. It's evil, okay? Søren Kierkegaard, he said he believed that boredom is the root of all evil. This makes a great point there. See, you can't live by faith and be bored. If your faith journey right now is boring, then maybe you stop taking steps of faith. I mean, I think you have to ask those kind of questions, right? But here's what I think, okay? Because I know the kind of people that the Orchard is reaching, and I know the kind of people who are part of this church, and I think that probably all of us, you know, or I should say none of us want to live that boring life anyway, do we? We don't want, I think there's something in all of us that wants to experience adventure. Right? I think there's something in all of us that wants to experience something unique. I mean, my guess is you're not here because you want to just, be a part of a quote-unquote religion, or you just want to be a part of, or buy into some, you know, belief systems. My guess is you're here because you want to be a part of something different. Either that, or maybe your husband dragged you here, and you're still not sure why you're here. Actually, it would be the wife dragged you here, because, man, we're the ones that don't like to go to church much. But anyway, no, right? I mean, we want to experience something unique. Something exciting, something adventurous. That's the Holy Spirit. And man, when you begin to get a picture of how the Holy Spirit impacts your life, not just the parts of your life that are quote-unquote, and I hate to say it this way, but are quote-unquote spiritual and not necessarily on our radar like they should be, but I mean, when you start to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to radically impact you as a parent, man, it does something to you. Listen, I don't know about you, But every day I wonder to myself, am I being a great parent? Man, I need all the help I can get from God to be a great, I don't want to screw my kids up. Man, I want to raise them, and I want them to be everything God created them to be. Or experiencing the Holy Spirit and the impact that the Holy Spirit has on us as husbands or as wives. Or how about as a single person? Oh, man, if there's ever a time in your life you really need the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you, it's there, right? As a leader, maybe you're leading an organization, or maybe you're listening online, you lead a church, or you lead a ministry, or even here at the Orchard, you lead an area ministry, whatever it might be. Talk about really needing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in our leadership. And through those seasons of uncertainty, whether it's in our jobs or in the economy or in our relationships, we need the Holy Spirit. And I think it's safe to say most of us want that. And we want to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But I think that at the end of the day, the greatest question we all have is how? Right? I mean, how do you experience the Holy Spirit? I mean, how do you take something as mysterious as the Holy Spirit and allow it to impact you on a very practical day-to-day level in your life? How do you do that? You know, how do you listen? How do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because see, for many of us, I think that's where we get stuck. Right, we get stuck there. It's like, I think that's the greatest challenge of all, is trying to figure out, how do I listen? How do I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because unfortunately, the Holy Spirit does not like send us text messages. I mean, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if every day you woke up and you logged on to Facebook and on your wall was like, okay, from the Holy Spirit, and here's like four things you need to do today. I mean, wouldn't that be great? I have not found the Holy Spirit's Twitter account yet. See, I think there's the issue of, like, even when we do feel like maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, there's still that question in the back of our minds, like, well, how do we know it was really him and not just me? Right? Do any of you ever struggle with that? How do I know if it's God? How do I know it's not just, like, you know, the bad sushi I had last night? Right? How do I know? Do any of you ever struggle with that? Because I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I am much better at hearing what I wish God was saying to me than what he's actually saying to me. Yeah. I remember as a kid, I had this little children's Bible. Didn't you ever have a children's Bible growing up? I loved it because it had so many pictures. It was great. Why did they stop doing that for adults? Come on now. But I remember there was this one Bible story that I was always drawn to, and it was a story about this little boy named Samuel. You ever hear of Samuel? So Samuel's this little boy, like in the middle of the night, I'll never forget the story. He hears God calling his name. Samuel. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I can remember reading the story, and part of me was always frightened by this. It was always frightened, like, you know, that God's going to show up in the middle of the night and call my name and scare the daylights out of me, right? But then I got to say, there was this other part of me that actually got excited by the idea that God would even be interested in speaking into the life of a little boy named Samuel, which means that he might be interested in speaking to the life of a little boy named Scott. That excited me. And you know what I've learned since then? I've learned that not only does God want to speak into our lives, but I've learned that God does speak into our lives all the time. And we may not always be aware of it, we may not always be in tune with it, but God and the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking into our lives. The question is, how do we hear him? So here's the deal. What I want to do today is I want to talk a little bit about that, and I want to share with you some of the ways that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me in my life. Now, some of these may resonate with you. Some of these may not resonate with you. We're all kind of built a little, wired a little bit differently. But these are just some of the ways that God tends to speak to me in my life. And I'll tell you, one of the ways the Holy Spirit speaks, one of the most common ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us as Christ followers is through the Scriptures. Through the Bible, it's a powerful way the Holy Spirit speaks. Now, let me just say this, because sometimes people get the wrong idea, like, well, you know, Scott, you're a pastor, like, you get paid to read the Bible, right? Not necessarily. And here's the thing. Sometimes people have this idea that read the Bible, it's such an intimidating book, and, you know, listen, here, for me, what I do, just to sort of give you an idea of what I do, I try to find time every morning, early in the morning. And I'll go either to my office, or I'll go to the patron saint of the Orchard, St. Arbucks. You'll figure that one out later when you're on your way home. But I'll try to find just a way to break away, and I will just sit down, and I will open up the scriptures, and I use what's called the Divine Hours. It's a book by Phyllis Tickle. Love her name. But anyway, so I'll take out my journal, and I will just begin to read. Now, I don't read several chapters. In fact, I usually read in the mornings. I'll read maybe 2, 3, 4 passages of scripture. And I'll start to write some of those passages of scripture down in my journal. And as I'm doing that, I'll just look at these passages and I'll say, okay, God, what are you wanting to say to me through these scriptures today? What are you wanting to say to me? That's my posture as I read these scriptures. And sometimes I'll use the practice known as Lectio Divina. Some of you might remember that. We did that a while back. Actually, we did it together as a community. It was beautiful. But oftentimes, what's interesting is that as I sit and as I meditate on a passage of scripture, what'll happen is God will start showing me things about my life. Oftentimes, God will begin taking this passage and really bring it alive to me, Scott Hodge, in the year 2010. Now, once in a while, it's something huge, but usually it's not. At least I don't realize it at the time. Sometimes what will happen is God will use a passage of scripture maybe to confirm something that I've been sensing or feeling. Has that ever happened to you? Where you read a scripture and it just jumps out at you, that punches you right in the face, and you're like, oh man, I needed to hear that. Other times, you know, God will deal with me during those times about some frustrations in my life. Sometimes he'll deal with me about sins. Sometimes he'll deal with me about family issues, about how I can be a better father. How I can be a better husband. God will use those times to really speak to me in my life. It's one of the ways God whispers and the Holy Spirit whispers into my life. Now, another way that the Holy Spirit oftentimes speaks to me is through something that is very challenging for me. It's called silence. Yeah, am I the only one? Do you struggle with silence? I struggle. I mean, I know it's hard to imagine, but I struggle with silence. I do. I struggle with it, man. But I'll tell you, there's something really powerful about just being quiet. Starts to get uncomfortable, though, doesn't it? There's this great story in the Old Testament about this great Jewish prophet named Elijah. You've probably heard of him, but in 1 Kings, we read that Elijah has just been going and going and going and going and going, and he's stressed out, he's hurting, he's not even sure that he can go on any further, and God one day shows up to him, and he says, hey, Elijah, let's me and you have a conversation. And so I want you to go to the top of this mountain, and I'm going to meet you there, and we're going to have a conversation, okay? And so Elijah, he goes up to the top of this mountain, and he waits, and he sits, and he listens. And the scriptures tell us that as he's sitting there, this mighty windstorm shows up, and of course, as probably all of us would do, Elijah thinks, well, that's God. He's got to be in the windstorm. So he's listening and realizes right away God was not in the windstorm. And then the scriptures tell us that after the windstorm was this massive earthquake. The earth is shaking. But again, God was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was this big fire. And Elijah says, well, God must be in the fire. But guess what? As you can guess, God was not in the fire. In fact, when God finally shows up, it's not in the sound of the mighty wind. It's not in the massive earthquake. It's not in the fire. No, it's in a very faint, gentle whisper. Whisper. Still, small voice of God. And I think that's how God oftentimes speaks to us in our lives today. Through that same still, small whisper. That still, small voice. Now, very few people I know have ever heard an audible voice from God. There's some people who say they've had one, and that's cool. I'm not sure I even want to hear the audible voice of God, especially if he's going to use my middle name. But I think it's really important just to be quiet and just to listen, you know. And I know that's hard to do, especially those, you know. I mean, if you've got kids, we've got 3 kids, and there very seldom is there a quiet moment in my house. But the good thing is I get to leave my house. But some of you, you're stay-at-home moms, whoo, and it is hard to find time. But I want to encourage you to find time just to get quiet and just to listen. Prayer is another way. I'll tell you, for me, prayer, I'm not one of those people that can pray for an hour a day. You know, I give myself like maybe 8 minutes of prayer, and then I'm distracted, right? No, don't look at me like that. You guys are all like that as well, most of you, right? And I know there's like some prayer warrior lady sitting out here somewhere, and she's like, what? I pray for 9 hours a day, bless God. Well, God bless you. Pray for me. Give me 1 hour. Pray for me for 1 hour. If you can do that, I'm impressed. I can't do it, even with my meds. I can't do it. All right? So for me, what I'll do is I will take out my journal, and I'll write my prayers out, because that helps me stay focused. But I'll tell you what I love about journaling, and I've been doing it now for several years, so now I have several years' worth of journals that I can go back, and I can look at how God has moved in my life. I can see prayers that God has answered. I can see prayers that God has not answered, and I look back and go, wow, thank you, God, for not answering that prayer, because that would have been a big problem. You know, sometimes it's in those moments when I don't really have to think about anything else that God will really speak to me. You know, I mean, think about those moments in your day. Many of you might be like that. For me, it's, you know, mowing the lawn. I'm not really thinking about anything. If you saw my lawn, you would understand that's very true. Right? Mowing the lawn. I'm not thinking. And sometimes God will just speak to me. Sometimes when I'm in the shower. Scott, anybody else? God speaks to you when you're in the shower? It's okay. You can be honest about it. Don't sit there like, okay, so fine. Maybe it's just me then. All right, and you. All right, there's two of us that God's, fine. You guys, maybe you all need to shower more. Sometimes God will speak to me in the shower. See, I think sometimes, like when you don't have to think about what you're doing, and I don't know about you, but when I'm in the shower, I'm not like thinking, okay, now it's time to wash myself. No, it's just become a habit, okay? But sometimes taking a walk, all right, silence, prayer, important ways that God speaks to us. You know how else God speaks to us? And speaks to me all the time, is through people. Oh man, God will speak to me through all kinds of people. And sometimes God will use people who seem very close to him. And sometimes God will use people who don't seem very close to him. All I know is this, okay, is that God can speak through all kinds of people, because there's a time in the Bible where God speaks through a donkey. And so I figured that if God can speak through a donkey, he can use any of you. And me. Now, here's the thing. When God uses people to speak to me, when God uses people to say something to me, it's usually not by people saying, well, Scott, now I really believe the Lord has something that I need to share with you, for you. Usually if I hear that, my defenses go up a little bit, and okay, this would be interesting, right? Usually it's through very casual conversations. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, I'm sure you have, but where you're in conversation with someone, and they say something, and all day you just can't get it out of your mind. It just sticks with you. I would suggest, instead of just letting that go and saying, well, that was a nice thought, maybe ask God, are you trying to say something to me through this idea or thought that just keeps staying in my mind? Or have you ever had where, I know I've had times where, you know, two or three people in a matter of a day or two will say the same thing, or I'll read a passage of scripture that says the same thing that someone else just said, and it's like at some point, you know, you just go, okay, God, I surrender. Are you trying to say something to me? You know, many of you, you've come to me on the weekends and you said, Scott, how did you know? And I'm going, what are you talking about? And they'll say, how do you know all my stuff? Are you spying on me? Yes, because see, since I only work on Saturdays and Sundays as a pastor, I pretty much during the week just spy on people. It works out really well. No, I don't spy on you. The Holy Spirit will do these things. So I have people come up to me all the time, and they'll say, Scott, you know, you said something today, it's like the third time I've heard it this week, and I'll say, well, maybe God's trying to say something to you. You know, write it down and ask God what he's trying to say, sometimes through the songs. I had someone the other day, they said, man, this same song, it's like I heard it on the radio, and then I heard it here, and I said, well, maybe download it and hear it again and write down the lyrics and ask God what he's trying to say to you. You never know. So God uses conversations with friends, sometimes acquaintances, you know, and there's those moments where sometimes you walk away from a conversation and you just know that God had his hand on that conversation, and you know that God said something to you through that conversation. Have you ever had that where it's like you walk away and say, man, I think God said something to me there? You know, sometimes God will use my children. That's right. He'll use my kids. Even the boy. God will use that little boy. Uses my kids all the time, and they also provide me with a lot of great sermon illustrations. God will use my wife. Now, not real often, But once in a while, no, I'm kidding. God uses my wife all the time. And you know what God shows me all the time through my wife? He shows me that I don't always listen to her very well. Yeah, and guys, you know this is true, because I know it's not just me. I hope it's not just me, but you know, there are times that I'll go away somewhere, and you know, I'll come back from a break or something, and God showed me something so powerful, and I'll share it with her, and she'll look at me. I've been trying to tell you that for 2 months. Is it just me, guys? Yeah, all the guys are just sitting there, not sure if they should laugh or sit and just be like, well, not me, because I always listen to my wife, and your wife is like, he's such a liar. God uses family. God uses friendships. God uses some of you. Sometimes you'll come up to me or you'll send me a note, and something through that, God will use that to speak to me. You know, another way that God speaks to me, and this isn't something I was always taught as a kid, But one of the ways God speaks to me in a really powerful way is through nature. Man, I don't know about you. I love this time of year, don't you? Don't you love the colors and the, I mean, it's absolutely one of my favorite times of the year. And I mean, definitely better than what's coming. But I love the fall. The colors just inspire me. And all the times God will speak to me through his creation, just sitting and observing. You know, every summer I try to take some time and I break away to this little lake house in Wisconsin. And I got to say, there's nothing that energizes me more than sitting outside early in the morning. The sun's still coming up, and there's a cool breeze, and I've got my coffee there, and you know, my journal, and I've got maybe a book that I'm reading, and I'll just sit 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 hours, and just let God speak to me and pour into me. I'll tell you, I hear God's voice so well during those times. Nature. You know, God also, for me, uses cities. Yeah, God uses the city in a great way. Some of you hate cities, and so you don't understand that cities stress you out. For me, I'm energized by cities. Man, there is nothing that I love more walking around New York City and just the energy and the sounds and yes, even the smells, except for the garbage, but the smells, and or walking through Central Park, even Chicago, just taking a walk through the city. God will speak to me in so many ways. A couple months ago, I was in L.A., and I spent a day walking the streets of downtown L.A., and if you've ever been to downtown L.A., it's not necessarily like the you know, greatest downtown area, but I started in Skid Row, and I walked from Skid Row all the way up into, I believe it was the Arts District, and just spent several hours just walking, and God just spoke to me over and over again. You know where God really speaks to me is when I get out of the country. Or when I'm really far away, when I'm the minority. I mean, think about that. Have you ever, and those of you who've never traveled overseas, and I don't mean like, I say overseas, I don't mean Canada. Okay, they're too much like you and me. I'm saying like, you get out, okay, and there's something like Bangkok is a city that I love, and I'm the minority there, and they don't speak my language, but there's something about being ripped out of our comfort zone, and God will speak to you. Sometimes right here in our own city. Man, I'll get out of my car and I'll start walking the city and let God speak to me. And oftentimes what happens is God begins painting a picture of what his will is for this city and how he wants me to be a part of, help bring what's up there down here into the city. And God speaks to me. There's so many ways, so many subtle ways. Art is another example. God speaks to me through art all the time, whether it's at, you know, at a gallery somewhere or just walking down the street, seeing street art. God will use those things in beautiful ways. Music. God will use music. Does God use music to speak to you? Man, he does me. Miles Davis. Kind of Blue. Whew. Listen to that through headphones. You will almost pass on over to the other side. So many different forms of art that God will use. Here's another way. God will use sometimes just simple thoughts. I remember last summer, we had our barbecue and baptism, which is always awesome. And I remember that Monday morning, I woke up, and I'm always up late Sunday nights because, you know, you think about everything, and especially barbecue and baptism Sunday night. You know, you're online, and people are Twittering about it and Facebooking, and you're looking at all the pictures, and, you know, and so I remember I went to bed really late, woke up the next morning, and the first thought I had that morning was, we have to do that again next weekend. No, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Satan, get thee behind me. No, but I remember this thought, we got to do that again. I tried to push that thought out, came back again, pushed it out again, came back again, and I just couldn't shake it. I remember I went to lunch that day with our creative team, and I said to our guys, I said, guys, I got to tell you, and I didn't say, now listen, God is telling me. No, what I said was, look, I don't know if this is God or not, but I got to tell you, I'm just sensing something. Just keeps coming back, and I kind of hope God's not telling us to do this because I know what this would mean, but I just keep having this feeling like we're supposed to do this again, that there's a bunch of people who they were supposed to take that step, but they didn't for whatever reason, and this is their chance, and so I think we're supposed to do this again. And I remember the response, and one of our guys in particular, he said, Scott, well, I mean, look, we believe you hear from God. And so you know, if that's what we're supposed to do, let's do it. And I remember like, well, no, I'm not saying we should yet. Just hold on now. But I got to tell you, I remember, so we went through that week, and actually that afternoon we decided we're going to do it. Was I 100% certain? No, not totally. In fact, I wasn't 100% certain until when it actually happened and people actually got baptized. But I got to tell you, like, I remember, because for one, it wasn't normal for me to think like this. I mean, I don't wake up in the morning after a barbecue and baptism and think, hey, let's have a baptism, because we don't have anything else to do. You know, no, I was tired. Our team was tired. We were worn out, but we believed that's what God was telling us to do. And so I got up that next weekend. Many of you might remember this. I got up that weekend and I said, okay, so here's the deal. You know, I just got to tell you, this is what I feel like God told me to do. So I'm just going to be obedient. So we got it all set up. And if no one gets baptized, you know, I'm going to go out there right now. And if no one goes out there with me, that's cool. I'll just go back to my office. I'm going to have a Kit Kat. Or you know, but if some of you come out, then we'll have ourselves a baptism. And I remember I said, and we thought of everything, so there's no excuses. Some of you are thinking of excuses right now, and some of you are like, well, my mom is in Nebraska, and how is she going to be able to see what happened? And I said, don't worry about your mom in Nebraska on vacation, because your mom, we'll take pictures, and we'll take a video, and you can show it to her. And I'll never, and so I remember them walking off the stage and walking out the door going, God, please help people to respond so I don't look like an idiot. And I remember seeing people like passing me up, walking out the door, and thinking to myself, where's all these people going? And they were going out to get baptized. And I remember it was such a memorable day. We did it three times. Almost 60 people got baptized that weekend. And I remember one girl came up to me. She goes, I got to tell you, I was in Saturday night service, and I knew I had to get baptized because you said something about somebody's mom being in Nebraska, and my mom is on vacation in Nebraska right now. And I didn't even know she was talking. I forgot that I even said Nebraska. I said, that's great. Say hello to her. You know, and she said, no, you said Nebraska. And I said, I did. You're right, I did. That's crazy. See, God spoke to me about that. I didn't even know he was using me at that moment, you know, but God spoke to her. And that's just oftentimes, I think, like, there's this idea, this thought that just pops into our minds, right? We just can't get it out of our thoughts. This growing conviction. Sometimes it's the feeling, I think, of being miserable on the inside. To ask God, when you start feeling yourself being miserable, to ask God, God, are you trying to say something to me? You start feeling restless in your soul. God, are you trying to say something? I know for me, when I first stepped out into full-time ministry, I was so scared to do it. And I'll never forget, like, there was a season in my life where I felt like God's grace was on me and I was able to do my job well. But I remember God kept saying, it's time to step out. And I said, oh, God, I don't know. I don't know how am I going to make an income and blah, 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 blah. But I can tell you what, as God started speaking to me, you know what started happening? The grace started lifting for that job I was in. And I was getting miserable, and I was hating it. And I think that's sometimes what happens. If you feel that grace is starting to lift, at least ask the question. I'm not saying quit your job, but ask the question, God, are you trying to say something to me? You know, sometimes God speaks to me through an image. So a snapshot. There's times I'm standing up here. In fact, a few weeks ago, we were in our mirror series. And it was this service, our 11 o'clock service. I remember at the very end, we were singing, we were worshiping God. And I remember I came up here at the very end, and as I was standing here, I just got overcome with this emotion. And sometimes it'll happen, and sometimes it's because I don't get enough sleep on the weekends, so I'm tired, you know, and I'm just emotional sometimes when I get tired. But I'm standing, and it was like God was doing something. I just sensed it. And all of a sudden, as I'm standing there, I get this image in my mind of this hand. And inside of this hand was a tiny little baby. Some of you might remember this. And I saw this image, and right when I saw it, I tried to push it out of my mind. And it came right back in. It was like rubber band or something. And it came right back. tried to push it out, came right back. And as I looked at this image in my mind, as we're all, you guys are all singing, and I see this image, and right on top of this image, right on top of this hand with this little baby, I see these words, and it was almost like, I can remember the font. It was like Helvetica Bold 18. I'm serious, and I remember like these words, there's just this word right there that said abortion. And I was just like, what, God, are you trying to say here? And so I remember just standing there going, okay, I tried to push it out, it came back again, but I just couldn't stop seeing it. So I finally, I think it was like at the end of the song or something, and some of you might remember this, I just finally said, look, I got to tell you guys what I feel like God, I just saw something here. I don't know what it's all about, but I just saw this image of this hand and this little baby, and I feel like what God's saying is that maybe there's someone here, you had an abortion, and you have been filled with shame and regret for a long time. But I think God wants you to know that your baby is safe in his hands and that you are forgiven. And I remember, and I got to say, you know, I mean, I could have gotten up and I could have said, hold on, turn the music down, put on the heavenly music and get my, what do you call that? Yeah, see, I don't even know what it's called. I don't even have one. But I mean, I could have gotten up. I could have said, okay, everyone, stop the music. I got a word from the Lord. No, I might have almost been wrong. I don't know. So I said, this is just what I'm seeing. And I would love to be able to tell you that at the end of the service, this girl came up to me, tears going down her face. I'm the one. But it didn't happen. But you know what? I got to tell you, I felt a great sense of satisfaction that I had listened and that my heart was open and I took that risk. And I got to tell you something, okay? Today, this morning, at our 9 o'clock service, this girl comes up to me and she said, you know what, I always go to the 9 o'clock, but that weekend in particular, something came up and I had to go to the 11 o'clock. And when you said that, I knew it was for me because I had an abortion. I've been dealing with shame and guilt for years. She goes, God set me free that day. I mean, sometimes you just have no idea how God is using you. And I got to say, that happens often. Sometimes I'll be in the middle of my teaching, and I'll just have this feeling or this sense, and I try to be very sensitive, and there's times that I blow it, there's times I miss it, and I always regret that. But man, the times when I feel like at least I took the risk, man, I'll tell you, there's such satisfaction in following those nudges. There's such satisfaction in knowing you've been obedient to God, even if you never hear the end of the story, you never hear really who it was for or whatever. And I just hope that for our community, that's how we live. I hope that in your workplace and in your day, you can live like this. And let God speak to you and be sensitive to it. You know, sometimes a person's name will pop into my head. Sometimes one of your faces will pop into my head. It's in the middle of the day, and I don't even know your name. You know how easy it is, though, when that happens, to just go, But what if you stop and say, maybe God, you know, the Holy Spirit's wanting me to pray for them? You know, what if you were just more sensitive to that? So I try to be sensitive to that. I also think it's important to pay attention to those little signals. I think those times when we feel restless or that frustration is building in our lives or when the circumstances of your life begin to shift, I think those are times to start considering that maybe God's trying to get your attention. You know, when you find yourself in a state of confusion or you find yourself with this growing sense of curiosity about the way things are going, I think those are times to pause and just say, God, are you trying to say something to me? You know what else God uses often in my life and probably many of yours is my gut instinct. And I got to say, if there's anything that I've learned over the years now, it's to listen and follow what my gut is telling me. I got to tell you, have you ever not followed your gut and you regretted it, huh? You guys all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, here's the thing. I believe that the Holy Spirit uses our gut quite often. And it's tough sometimes because when it is your gut, you can't always give a reason, right? You just have this feeling, right? I just have this feeling. And sometimes people don't want to hear that. They want, I need 5 reasons. Well, I'm sorry, I can't give you a reason. It's just my gut, right? And it's funny because like our staff, you know, they've learned like if Scott feeling something in his gut, follow that because you're usually right about whatever it is. And in fact, they trust my gut sometimes more than I trust my gut. You know, so I think paying attention to those signals in our lives. But bottom line is this, guys, there are a lot of different ways that the Holy Spirit whispers into our lives. There's a lot of ways the Holy Spirit directs us. And of course, if you're anything like me, once you think you've heard from God, the bigger struggle sometimes is actually obeying God. right, is actually taking that step of faith. That's the tough part, obeying. Because there's always that fear, right? What if I'm wrong? Especially if it's something major. What if I'm wrong? I'm going to screw my entire family up. What if I'm wrong? I think we all have that concern. Well, thankfully, there are a set of filters that I would really encourage you to use, that I use in my life. And I want to give you those real quick. If you have something, you might want to write these down or just try to remember them or whatever. But there's a set of filters that God has used continually in my life to help me make the right decisions, especially when it's something major. Listen, we all need filters in our lives because we're all human. And we are going to miss it at times, okay? And what these filters do is these filters allow God the opportunity to show you something different. These filters allow you the opportunity to really clarify and let God confirm the direction he's taking you in your life. And you know what else it does? It gives you confidence to be able to make and take those steps of faith in your life. Now, let me share with you what some of those filters are. And by the way, if you want to read a great book on this topic, Bill Hybels has a book. It's called The Power of a Whisper, and he talks about these filters as well. It's a great, great practical book. But that first filter is what I would call the God filter. It's God, the God filter. And that might seem, well, of course, God, right? But here's the thing. I think the question to ask yourself is, okay, is this prompting or this nudge that I'm feeling, is this truly from God? Whether it's something that you're sensing in your life, or maybe someone else has said something to you. I don't know about you, but I've had at times when people have said to me, like, Scott, I really believe God might be saying something to you. I want to say this to you. I feel like God told me to tell you this. And listen, in those moments, it's like, I think you got to ask, God, is this message from you? Is this consistent with who you are? Is this consistent with your character? Or is this the result of some bad pizza the night before? And I remember one time several years ago when I just started in college, I was 19 years old, and I was at this friend's house, and his dad said, well, you know, you're getting ready to go away to college, and I want to pray for you. I said, all right, cool, I need that. And so I remember he started praying for me, and in the middle of the prayer, he kind of stopped, and then the thing started getting weird. He stopped, and he said, well, now, who? I was like, who? He's like, now I believe I have some words from the Lord. And I was like, oh. And so he started like prophesying over me and saying things to me. And I got to tell you, it was so off. It was, and you know how you just know it right away? It was like, the flags going up everywhere. This guy's crazy. He's not filled with the Spirit. He's filled with himself, right, or something, right? And you're just going, this isn't right. But he started prophesying. He started saying to me, he started saying, God is calling you away from Aurora. And that part I was happy about. But he was like, God's calling you away from Aurora. You will never have an effective ministry in Aurora. And you should never return to Aurora. Because God has something for you somewhere else. And I just knew this guy was off his rocker, not because I wanted to be in Aurora. I didn't want to be in Aurora. Frank, that I mean, you know, whatever. But it just felt wrong to me. It felt wrong. You know, sometimes it just feels wrong. But I got to say, one of the things I've learned since then is that it can never hurt. Even if you think it's wrong, it can never hurt to say, God, was there any part of that that was right? Even if you think the person's crazy, because I've had crazy people say things to me, and God used what they said to me. I mean, so I think like give God that opportunity. God, if it's from you, let me know. I'm gonna put it up here on the shelf, way in the back. And if it's from you, I'm gonna trust that you'll bring this back to me and speak to me whatever it is you're wanting to say. So that's the starting point. Is this from God? Here's a second filter. The second filter is Scripture. Scripture, is it scriptural? Does this thing that I'm sensing, does it align with the Scriptures? Because don't forget, we have an example to follow. You know what the example is? Jesus. We can look at the life of Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting we all start wearing the WWJD bracelets again or anything like that. But the question is, could I envision Jesus doing whatever it is that I feel like God might be leading me to do? Could I envision Jesus? If I can't imagine Jesus doing it, well, that should be a warning. Okay, when the knucklehead pastor in whatever state it was decided one day, hey, let's all have a burn the Quran day. You know what step he missed? Was asking the question or filtering it through the Scripture filter. would God, would Jesus burn the Quran? No. But I'm going to, never mind. Listen, it's important to check every prompting with the scriptures. And, you know, this gets easier as time goes on. When you first start trying to hear from God, you know, sometimes it takes time to go through these other, but over time, you just begin to really sense and you see, okay, this is how God oftentimes speaks to me. And you start to develop these things, it becomes a lot easier. But anything that contradicts the scriptures, it's not from God. I mean, I remember in our youth group, I was a youth group leader, and we had this guy in our youth group who was like, I believe God said it's okay for me to sleep with my girlfriend, have sex with her. I believe the Spirit said it's okay for us to have sex before marriage. And I remember like, what? What are you talking about? Like Spirit? You like the Holy Spirit? Or are you talking about the Spirit that you guzzled down last night when you were out clubbing? I mean, big difference. One guy, hey, Pastor Scott, I believe God told me it's okay for me to smoke marijuana. What do you think? I said, well, first of all, I think you've had enough. Okay. And I said, well, let's see. Here's the question. Is smoking marijuana legal? Well, no, but I think it should be. No, that's not what I asked. Is smoking marijuana legal? No, it's not legal. Okay, then. Well, the scriptures tell us that when you obey the laws of the land, you are also obeying God. So I don't think that God would tell you to break the law and smoke marijuana. But if you keep saying these things to me, I'm going to need some marijuana. No, I didn't say that. I'm joking. Totally kidding. And Larry Boatwright never said that again. I'm just kidding in that. It wasn't him. I've heard all kinds of things. God told me to cheat on my wife. Oh, God who? Godiva? What are you talking about? God told me to drop out of school with one semester left. Are you sure? God told me to quit my job, even though I have 19 kids and no other income and no other job lined up. But God told me to quit my job. It's a good starting point. Here's another filter, wisdom. The wisdom filter. Remember the ultimate question from a couple months ago? What is the wise thing to do? That's a great question to ask yourself when you're sensing that God might be telling you to do something. What is the wise thing to do? Is it wise, right? Because here's the thing. Just because something is not illegal or immoral or unethical, it does not mean that it's necessarily God's will for you to do it. Okay? And the thing is, you know, for me, I'll tell you, one of the personal rules that I have in my life is to never make a major decision under pressure unless I'm almost 100% certain that it's the right thing to do. And people try to put pressure on you all the time, won't they? I mean, it happens all the time. So my thing is if someone says, we got to know right now, I'll say, well, if you got to know right now, then the answer is no. Because I've got a set of filters that I run this through, and sometimes you know right away it's a no, you just know it. But sometimes you don't know, and sometimes if you act too fast, you'll skip those filters. And here's the thing, my belief is if it's right today, it'll be right tomorrow. And sometimes you have to make a decision quickly, and in those times, then get on your knees quickly. Get around wise people quickly, okay? Let God affirm it to you, but if he doesn't affirm it, hold off. And here's the thing, you can make the right decision the wrong way. Man, you can really screw up the right thing by going about it the wrong way. The other thing I wanted to say is this, asking the question, what is the wise thing to do, is not the same thing as asking the question, what is the comfortable thing to do? Okay, just because it's uncomfortable does not mean that it's not from God. In fact, oftentimes obeying God means letting go of comfort and letting go of safety. Let me give you two more. Here's the other one, character filter. Character, this is huge because I've seen people make stupid mistakes because they didn't stop and ask this question. Is this thing that I'm sensing God saying to me, is it in tune with my own character? Okay, look, there should be caution when running headlong into a field that is totally foreign to your wiring or to your patterns or your education or to your expertise or your experience in life. Listen, and it's not to say God can't call you to take a 180-degree turn in your life because he could. But I'll tell you what, typically, if that's the case, you got to let it get affirmed through a series of whispers in your life from several sources in a variety of different ways. Let God affirm that, which leads me to one more filter, and that's the filter that I would call the others filter. Others. Say that with me. Others. Okay, this has to do with the people that you trust the most in your life. The people you trust the most. What do the people that you trust the most think about this thing that you feel like God's saying to you? Here's a passage for those of you who need biblical reference for this. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen, this is talking about people who know you well, people who are wise, people who you trust, people who are perhaps further along in their spiritual journey than you might be. I didn't say they've been a Christian longer than you, because that doesn't mean anything. People who are further along in their spiritual journey. So what does this look like? You know what it looks like? It's very simple. It means humbly asking them, hey, I kind of sense God might be saying something to me. You know me well, so I just want to run this by you, and I just want to, you know, see, do you think this could be God, or am I going crazy? Listen, don't be afraid to ask this question. Trust that the Holy Spirit can use other people to affirm his will in your life. I'll tell you, it'll save you a lot of heartache. I mean, because here's my thing. If you believe the Holy Spirit is telling you to do something, yet you do not want to seek counsel from those who are closest to you or those who you trust in your life, then I would say there's a very high chance that there's a problem. Okay, if you don't want to allow God the opportunity to affirm these things in your life, man, I would say, okay, warning Will Robinson, we've got a problem, all right? Or you need new friends that you can trust, which is why it's important to be a part of a church community and you surround yourself with wise people and people who can speak into your life. But either way, give God the opportunity to affirm what you're sensing through those that you trust the most. Don't be afraid to ask. Sometimes people come to me and they never ask the question, well, what do you know, Scott, you know me well. I've got this idea. I want to share it with you. I just want to see what you think. They'll just share their idea and just because they want to share the idea. And don't get me wrong. Look, it's okay. I'm not wanting to be everybody's counselor. But here's the thing. Telling someone is not the same thing as asking someone. All right, this is about asking, okay? And so unless it's a very good friend or a family member, and they don't ask me, but they tell me, but I think they're going to screw their lives up, or someone I'm close, I will intervene, okay, because I care about them, and I don't want, you know, it'd be more work for me to have to mess with their mess later than try to straighten them out now. But anyway, but here, seek input. Seek input from those around you. If people don't, I'll just say, hey, thanks. Godspeed. Good luck with that. Praying for you and your family and your business and everyone who knows you. You've got to invite it. So take time to seek counsel and affirmation from others. And listen, the time to seek affirmation, not affirmation from the world, not affirmation from everybody under the sun, but those who you trust the most. Man, listen, the time to do that is before you make the decision, not after you make it. I get so tired of people when I sit down with people and they'll say, oh, my life's such a mess because I did this. I thought it was God telling me. And I'll say, well, who did you talk to before you made the decision? You know, and maybe they had people they could have. Sometimes you don't have anyone because you're new to the faith or whatever. You just don't know to do that. But man, it's like if you know better, do it, man. Save yourselves a lot of heartache. And then if you don't get affirmation or if the person says, you know what, I don't know. Listen to that. Ask God why. Pray about those concerns. Maybe it's a timing issue. Maybe it's the right thing, but right now it's not the right time. But look to God to affirm. So those are the power of these filters, okay? God, the God filter, the scripture filter, the wisdom filter, the character filter, and the others filter. And I'm sure there's others, but those are mine. Those are ones God uses in my life. And I'll tell you what, as you work through those filters in your life, oftentimes what it'll seem like is the Holy Spirit is leading you with what it is for me is a traffic light. You know, it's like what'll happen is if that light seems green, we're going to take a step. And if it still looks green, take another step. And if it still looks green, I'll take another step. But if the light turns yellow, okay, hold on, let's slow down and let's listen. Is God wanting to say something? And if the light turns red, okay, I'm stopping. The light's red, I just don't feel like I can move forward here. Let's figure out why. Sometimes I know why the light changes. Other times I have no idea. But what I do trust is that if the light seems green, I'm going to just take steps and I'm going to trust that at the right time, if it's not the right move, God's going to let me know. Because I believe God is good. And I believe God cares about the decisions we're making in our lives. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help us and lead us in our lives. And that's a huge part of this, is just trusting that God is good and that God's for you. And trusting that he cares and that he's fully capable of letting you know at just the right time that maybe you're making a mistake or the timing is wrong. Let me just say, if you're in a season right now where you feel like God is not speaking to you, or if you feel like God is silent in your life and you're struggling to hear the whispers of the Spirit in your life right now, can I tell you, here's my advice to you. Check your signals. Reduce the ambient noise in your life. And if you still don't know what to do, or if God still seems silent, instead of growing resentful and being angry at God, listen, continue to obey the last whisper that God spoke to you. Just continue to be faithful with where you're at. Because listen, perhaps by faithfully executing that last whisper, that's the key, perhaps, for a new whisper to emerge in your life. And as you do that, just wait and trust and imagine. Imagine what God can do with a group of people who are committed to hearing his voice. Imagine what God can do with a father, with a husband, with a parent, with a leader who hears his voice and has the courage to obey it. See, here's what I know. When you and I, when we prove ourselves faithful in those small whispers, I'm just talking about everyday life stuff, giving that person encouragement, you feel that nudge, encourage that person. Okay, write this person a letter. Tell them you're thinking about them. Okay, obeying God in the small things. Listen, when you and I, when we prove ourselves faithful there in those small everyday nudges, those small everyday whispers, God will entrust us with even greater ones. So may we be those kind of people, because then when we're those kind of people, we're going to see that beautiful prayer that St. Augustine prayed happen in our lives. We're going to see it come to pass in our lives. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to close, and I want us to make this our prayer before we leave. I want to pray it one more time, this beautiful prayer from St. Augustine. Would you lift your voices? Let's pray it together. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Would you say that last part with me? Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen and amen. May that come to pass in our lives.